podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Woo! Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Midwest Madness Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Triano, and we are here to talk all things Big 12 hoops. Hope you're all having a lovely, lovely day, wherever you're listening to this, morning, afternoon, night, weeks ago, weeks in the future. If you're in the future, you can be in the future, whatever. And I have a doozy of an episode for you guys today. I have made my claim, my ultimate most best winner of the Big 12 Conference. And we talk about this conference all year on this show, and it's been almost impossible to decide who the best team in this conference is. At one point, it was Kansas State. At another point, I said Iowa State. For the longest time, I thought it was the Kansas Jayhawks. And then I called them dead. I've been wrong a lot about this league, but that just kind of shows what this league currently is right now. But I've done it. I've made the claim for one team to be my Big 12 champ. Now, if you're not familiar with me, hi, how are you? On Twitter, at the Triano Kid is where I reside. And my day job is I work for Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM Channel 375. And I have had this run for the past 2 years that in the middle of the season, basically 5 games into the Big 12 football season, like after 5 games and maybe 2 games in non-conference, I've done this thing where I've said, you know what, this is the team that's going to win the Big 12. And they haven't been like the favorite. I wasn't picking just like Oklahoma or Texas, which would just be stupid in general to pick Texas in anything. But for me, I picked Baylor in 2021. They win the Big 12 conference. I picked Kansas State for football, and they win the Big 12 football championship, which is not the right pick because TC went to the national title, but because they won the Big 12 title game, I'm the champion. So I'm carrying that magic over to the basketball side of things, and I made my decision. And without further ado, I picked the Baylor Bears to win the Big 12 Conference, and I'm going to explain why. We're going to preview the most important game in the Big 12 for the rest of the season, Baylor taking on Kansas in Fog Allen. I need to talk about what the hell is happening with Kansas State. Not good. And then I want to talk about the bubble watch, because I have a case that all 10 teams have a realistic chance to make March Madness. I don't know if I'm going to be right, but I have an argument, and I want to convince all of you at home to go to your local congressman and tell them to let all 10 teams in. But let's talk about Baylor, because I picked them to win the Big 12 Conference, and I'm pretty confident. They're tied right now with Texas and Kansas, 9-4 in conference play. They defensively are, metrics do not go well with them. I rely on KenPom a whole lot, and even though they are the first-ranked offense in the entire country, not even close, too. Like, I'm talking a couple of points ahead of whoever is second. Defensively, they have their warts, and they've been showing it. We've discussed it in great length, how the defense is not very good. And KenPom has them number 78th in the whole country. Once again, you do not want to be 78th in anything. And now they get a player back whose name we all need to get right moving forward. You may know him as Everyday John, but this is how you say his name.
Jonathan Chamwa Chachua. Jonathan Chamwa Chachua. Jonathan Chamwa Chachua.
Jonathan Chamwa Chachua. And what makes me so confident about this team moving forward is him. Because defensively, he can do so many things that can win you a game. He is still kind of finding his rhythm in the few games that he's playing back, but like his intensity, he knows what to do. There's been some pick and roll situations where he leaves his guy open because he's too focused on like pressuring the ball handler, and his help defense just isn't necessarily there behind him. But his footwork is incredible. He can handle anybody on the perimeter, and he's doing it off the bench. Like, that is a card in Scott Drew's back pocket that is unlike anyone in this league. We know this league is small. There is a handful, maybe even just a couple, of bigs in this league I genuinely trust. And he is the one that makes the difference for them. But that's not the only reason why. We kind of are underrating how good this Baylor team is offensively. It is the best, and their guard play from Keontae George, Adam Flagler, and LJ Cryer is just incredible. And they're doing it all shooting the ball. This is not a team that is made to score inside. They're not. You do not see Adam Flagler coming to the hole, really, but it's working for them because they have so many shot makers on this team. And then you have Jalen Bridges off to the side who can make you a shot, but also do a lot of the dirty work type of things right now. I really love Baylor. And one thing I've just been noticing, if they make one defender second guess, overthink something in a pick and roll situation, if they're just stuck on one person and someone is open on Baylor, they'll pass it to him. The defense rushes. You're breaking down the defense. You're passing the ball around. Baylor is so good at getting to the open person and getting open shots. I love this team. And that's why I'm just so confident with them moving forward. But I'm just going to admit, the road for Baylor is maybe the hardest out of the three teams I consider to be title favorites. Baylor, Texas, Kansas. Baylor's road is hard. Really, really hard. So they play at Kansas this weekend, which we're going to get more into. You play at Kansas State, which honestly, in the rest of their schedule, is probably the easiest game. And that's saying something. That's saying a lot about Kansas State. But they're still a team that is in the top 25. They're a team that is going to be a top 5 seed in the March Madness tournament. And that's going to be the easiest game of their schedule? Oh boy. You are home for Texas at Oklahoma State. And then you finish your season home against Iowa State, which may be their easiest game. But like Iowa State, once again, really good. And Oklahoma State's really good. Any team here is really good at home. So the road is really difficult. I understand that I'm taking a gamble, but they have people off their bench. They have bigs in a league that don't necessarily have bigs. Flo Thamba is like such a... I said this on another podcast, but Flo Thamba is like a pawn in chess. I've been playing a lot of chess lately. I'm trying to expand my mind. I've been trying to dunk a basketball and play chess. It's just what I'm doing now. But Flo Thamba, a pawn in chess is not going to win you the game, but it can knock some people out. You know, it can do some things, but like you're not going to win a game with the pawn at all. And you're never going to tell the pawn to do a whole lot of things. That's really Flo Thamba. He knows his role. I don't know if he does it necessarily great, but he does it. Flo Thamba is like a walking version of a tree. He stands in the lane. He disrupts on defense. I don't think he's necessarily a great shot blocker. He's really good at setting screens, and he can get the occasional offensive rebound, but him putting the ball back up, it's like, man. Like, he can have a wide-open layup and still miss it or just, like, be slow to it, and, like, the defense will just block it or just, like, disrupt them a little bit. So then we look at the rest of the schedules. Let's look at Texas's schedule. Let's make the case for Texas, who is 9-4. And right now, according to FanDuel, number 3 in the best odds to win the Big 12 Conference. Their remaining schedule. They play Oklahoma this weekend at home. W. That's a W. You play Iowa State at home. That's most likely going to be a W just because, one, the Moody Center has just been incredible all year. And also, I just like Texas a whole lot more than Iowa State, even though I think they're very similar teams in so much. I just think Texas is a little more talented. You play at Baylor. That's your hardest game remaining in the season. You play at TCU, which is a team that has lost 4 of their last 5 and are 1-4 since Mike Miles left, and I have no idea if he's going to return ever. And then you finish your season at Kansas, which may be the deciding factor in this whole season. Then you have Kansas' schedule, and this is the one that I think may be making me foolish because I called them dead. I put the stake in their heart. I said, I've seen enough. I know this team's deficiencies, and I couldn't see them getting away out of it. They're starting to get out of it a little bit. Juwan Harris is shooting more. Jalen Wilson hasn't even been great, but Grady Dick has just been incredible. And Joseph Yesufu, hello. Thank you. Thank you for coming out. Like, we've missed you this whole year. Thank you. Now, here's Kansas's rest of their schedule. It's the easiest out of the three. You play Baylor at home. You're at TCU, who is most likely not going to have Mike Miles. Then you have two gifts from God. Oh, Bill Self is looking like, thank you. Thank you. Like, every team in this conference is really good, and every game you can't overlook, but man, did they get a gift in the last part of the season to set up for a good March run, Big 12 tournament run. They get West Virginia at home and Texas Tech at home. Texas Tech has been really hot. West Virginia has not been, but they are fighting to be a tournament team, and they currently are a tournament team right now. And then you close your season at Texas. So out of those three, Kansas has the best road map. But that's why, transitioning to previewing this game, I think it's the most important game in the entire Big 12 for the rest of the year. And I want to break down this game a little bit more just because I like some matchups here for both teams. And there's some injury issues for Kansas that I just can't help but overlook. In the last game, DeJuan Harris Jr. and Kevin McCullough both were injured with ankle injuries. I believe both are going to play this game. But man, if you don't have one of those, hell, even two, Kansas is a completely different team, especially without DeJuan Harris Jr. And I've been so critical on him, and I think if you've listened to this, you understand. He's been tentative with his shot. At some points of the year, it just was a non-factor. Now he has confidence. Now he is attacking. He's distributing. He is the best on-ball guard defender in the entire league, and he just runs the offense so well. He leads the fast break. I can't say enough good things about DeJuan Harris Jr. I was very critical about him, but he's really been playing fantastic basketball. And Kevin McCullough is a player that offensively won't do much, but defensively you know you need to have, and he can get you a shot if you need it. He is a player in the league and a chess piece that Bill Self can use in a lot of situations. This team on ball defensively is really, really good. And looking at this game, like, who is going to be guarding who and what matchup? And the thing that gives Kansas to me, now that I'm a pseudo Baylor fan, gives me the most pause, is Grady Dick. Because if I were Baylor, I would have Jalen Bridges on Jalen Wilson, the battle of the Jalens. It just makes sense. Now, who do you have guarding Grady Dick, who just came off such an incredible performance against Oklahoma State? You cannot leave that man open whatsoever. He is such a lethal shooter. Bill Self called him the best freshman shooter he has ever had. Kansas fans, you need to appreciate the man you got right now in Grady Dick. If I were Grady Dick, I would come back for another year to, like, put yourself as a top five, top six pick. But man, his talent is incredible. He is a good defender. He knows where to go, but my God, who is Baylor going to have guard them? They are small and bad defensively with their guards. You can put Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer on him. That's a height disadvantage. You can put Keontae George on him. Okay, somewhat better height, but still not the same. Like, Grady Dick is the player that really throws the wrench into whatever Baylor is doing. And how do they overcome that? Like, I don't know. But last game, if we were to go back to that, Grady Dick had 24 points, but the Baylor Bears still won. Is there a point where you see JTT,
Jonathan Chamwa Chachua,
going on him? Like, what is the answer for Grady Dick for them? Like, let KJ Adams beat you. Let Kevin McCullough beat you. You cannot let Grady Dick beat you right now. And in that game, going back to when Baylor won 75-69, they shot terribly. Only 37% from the field, 30% from the three-point line, but they got some key shots at some key moments, and Kansas shot it even worse. DeJuan Harris only had 2 points for that, but this is a game you need to have a performance from LJ Cryer, Adam Flagler. My thing is, like, they need to have at least two of those to go off to win. Like, there's been performances where LJ will just have a slight advantage, or, like, not a great game, but the other two are great, or Keontae George doesn't have a great game, but the others fill up. That's why I like Baylor, too. They need a guaranteed great two performances from both of them, or a bench performance from Langston Love. This game is going to be absolutely fascinating. I can't wait to watch. I believe it's going to determine the entire Big 12 conference, and I really do think the winner of this game is going to win the Big 12. And if Baylor wins this, They have the tiebreak over Kansas. Two wins over the Kansas Jayhawks. This is beautiful basketball. Game day is going to be there. I honestly cannot wait for that game. Next I want to talk about is Kansas State, but before we do that, we have to pay some bills here and talk about our good friends at Home Field Apparel. You love college sports. You love representing your team. You want to watch the games at home while also representing your team. Go to homefieldapparel.com for the best t-shirts, hoodies, whatever you want, with vintage designs and modern designs of your favorite team. It covers all Big 12 schools, including the new four teams. And if you want to get that and save some money, use the code MIDWEST12. MIDWEST12 off your first order, and you get 15% off. Once again, go to homefieldapparel.com, use MIDWEST12 on your first order, and you save 15% off. All right, I want to talk about Kansas State here, because what's going on? Hello? This team was going so well. What was happening? They were the darling of college basketball. They were the best story. Jerome Tang goes on the scores table. KSU! KSU! That was a pretty good Jerome Tang impersonation in my mind. And now they are crumbling. They've lost 4 of their last 5, 6 of their last 7. Their only win in those 4 games, or 5 games, is TCU at home. I mean, they blew out TCU, but no Mike Miles. You lose to Texas Tech and Oklahoma on the road, but the two worst teams in the whole conference. What's going on there? And I think it's just very clear. You have to make shots. You have to make shots. In the past 2 games, Marquise Noel has just not been there. He's made 3 of 19 from the 3-point from the last 2 games against Texas Tech and Oklahoma. Seems like Keontae Johnson has kind of hit that wall. He's taken so much of the load for this team. Offensively, he's the leading rebounder in the entire league. It's a physical league, man, and like he hasn't done this since his injury. What happened at Florida? And I don't necessarily trust a lot of the people on Kansas State's roster in big moments right now. It's really just a two-man team right now. Naquan Tomlin is a really good basketball player, but he's raw. But then just like Ofers, once again, like Cam Carter is just like, to me, who is he? Plays like 20 minutes, he starts, and I like half the time I'm like, oh, he's out there. So many teams right now are going up in the conference, and some teams just have to go down. And the teams that are going up are Oklahoma State, Texas Tech right now, and the teams going down are TCU and Kansas State. Now, I want to talk to the people who are posting or saying anything like, Jerome Tang shouldn't have a job. We made the wrong hire. We haven't had the same energy since then. Okay. I'm going to whisper to you, okay? Just turn up your volume a little bit. I'm going to whisper to anyone who doubts Jerome Tang. You're an idiot! Kansas State was not supposed to be here. 10th in preseason polls. I understand. All the Kansas State fans are like, well, like, we're better than that. We proved that we're better than 10th. Yes, but also you should be grateful. You guys have a great coach with you. This is not the peak of the Jerome Tang era. You guys care about basketball again. Those fans who say that are idiots. And I don't think the majority. I know for a fact they're the minority. But anyone who's doubting Jerome Tang right now just because of a couple of losses, like, shame on you. I understand you want to win every single game. This league's a gauntlet. Your team is not set up for that. You do not have the talent, and you are in an amazing spot. You can go into the tournament being a top 5, top 6 seed, and you can do some damage. You can make the Sweet 16. You can crack the Elite 8 based on what Jerome Tang has done. I think he's outcoached so many other coaches in this league. He has gotten the fan base to care about this again, and it's not like his team has just given up, okay? They have just hit a wall, and they're going to fix it, and they're going to be fine. They're a tournament team. Anyone who wants to bag on Jerome Tang, what are you doing? It's a team that is honestly overachieving by a lot. So Kansas State fans just need to be appreciative. Now let's go and preview the weekend games, and I think it's time. Everybody's favorite segment of the show. Watch. Bubble, 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 watch. Bubble watch. Bubble, 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 bubble.
Watch.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes! Yeah! It's that time, the Big 12 Bubble Watch. Everybody's favorite segment. Because, my God, every day Joe Lunardi puts out a new bracketology, and every single day says Big 12 with 8 teams. That would be the most in Big 12 history, and well deserved. Now, I talked about in my intro, I want to make a case for that the league should get all 10 teams in right now. Because how important are wins in this conference? Because we look at the quad one wins out of the top 5 teams with quad one wins, 4 of them are Big 12 teams. You have Kansas with 12 quad one wins. You have Texas with 9, Baylor with 9, Iowa State with 8, and the only other team in there is Purdue with 9. So it's pretty clear. Every single game in this league is a quad one game, basically. Oklahoma has 4 quad one wins. Well, they have 10 quad one losses at all, but 4 quad one wins. Just keep that in mind. Let's go to Texas Tech. They have 3 quad one wins, 10 quad one losses, but whatever. Now let's look at other teams that are notably known in college basketball. How do they do with quad one wins? How many do they have? Well, let's go to Houston. One of the best teams in the entire country, future Big 12 school. We love you all. How many quad one wins do they have? They have 4. They've only played 5 quad one games, and they have 4. Same amount as Oklahoma. Okay, let's go to Duke. Everybody knows Duke. How many quad one wins do they have? They actually only have 3. But Joe Lunardi ranks them as a 9 seed right now, and they're 3-7 in quad one games. Okay, how about Illinois? Illinois has been one of the best teams in the Big Ten this year. How are they doing? Well, they're only got 3 wins, 3 quad one wins, the same as Texas Tech, who is the worst team in the Big 12. So I understand records matter and conference records do as well, but Texas Tech is 14-12, Oklahoma is 13-13, and they have this many quad one wins. And if that is valued by the committee, let's say Texas Tech were to get a couple of wins. Should that be enough to get into the tournament? I called them dead earlier because they were 0-8 in conference play, but they've been playing really well. They've been playing like a team. Davion Harmon is playing like the player we all thought. Fardos Amak is back. Let's look at Texas Tech's remaining schedule. And let's just make the case. You at home, you may hate Texas Tech. You may hate the tortillas they throw and the batteries they have in their back pocket. Also, I don't think they're throwing batteries, but that's a rumor, and I just kind of want to go with it. Let's be rooting for them to make the tournament just because we're all Big 12 fans. At West Virginia, at Oklahoma. Games on the road, but 2 bottom 3 teams right now in the conference. You play home at TCU, who is right now just a bad basketball team without Mike Miles. You're at Kansas, most likely an L. And then you're home for Oklahoma State. They have 3 conference wins. Is this a situation where they can get 2 or 3 and maybe a tournament win in the Big 12 tournament and be fine? I'm starting to think like, yeah. Like, I look at the rest of the country and the metrics all are on the side of the Big 12. The Net loves the Big 12. KenPom loves the Big 12. We know how deep this league is. They should be rewarded for that. I think if a team were to win 5 or 6 games in this conference, like, that is enough. And if they close their season going on this hot streak that they're currently on or continuing it, you look at the committee and it's like, how can we leave this team out? Now, realistically, just because, you know, it's not like the committee's like, we have to reward the Big 12 because they want to get other people in the country involved and whatsoever. It's most likely they're going to have to win maybe 4 of their last 5 games and then get some magic in the tournament. You get a win against Texas. You get a win against Kansas State. They've been playing some close games. They were very close against Oklahoma State. Baylor was not a good showing. You beat Iowa State. Mark Adams has got it rolling right now, and just keep an eye on Texas Tech. I'm not saying they're out, but they're most likely out, but just keep an eye on them. Oklahoma, I have nothing to say there. If they get in, they won the tournament. Just like looking at that team, even though they have the same conference record, they have just been bad. I mean, they've lost four of their last five. They just came off a win against Kansas State, but I mean, Kansas State couldn't have shot the ball any worse in that game. I just don't see this team winning enough, and the rest of their schedule, I would say, is pretty hard. At Texas, home for Texas Tech, that's a winnable game. At Iowa State, at Kansas State, home for TCU. It's an easier stretch of games than what Baylor or Texas has to go through, but still, I don't see Oklahoma, and also I just don't really like watching their team very much. And then you go to a team like West Virginia, who is currently in Joe Lunardi's bracketology, but they're 4-9 conference play, and they have just been slipping up. You lose against Baylor and Texas. Okay, those are two really good teams, and you competed for Baylor. Texas was just an absolute bloodbath all around. But should we be worried about West Virginia? I'm kind of saying yes. You look at the last three games, at Kansas, at Iowa State, home for Kansas State. They play Texas Tech at home this weekend. You need to win, what, three out of your last five games and maybe a win in the tournament? Like, the metrics love West Virginia, and I've said that a whole lot here. This team should be a tournament team. You have scorers. I think you have good defense. James Okongwu off the bench has been awesome for them. This is a tournament team, but they need to rattle off some wins or they are going to be on the outside looking in. Joe Lunardi currently has them as a last four bye. But the rest of the Big 12, never been more confident. I think every other team in the Big 12 is a lock. Even TCU, who is skidding. Oklahoma State has been the hottest team in the league. They lost against Kansas, but they played a really good game against them. It was close the entire time. They are proving that they can do a lot of different things. Caleb Asbury is turning into one of my favorite watches in the entire league. Caleb Boone continues to do Caleb Boone things. Oklahoma State is just a lock in the tournament. I like that team in the tournament. That's the thing about this league. Like, you can say, like, oh, they just got in. No, these are teams that are in confidently, and I can say, yep, I like them to make a run or survive the first weekend. I can feel that way about TCU, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas, Baylor, and Kansas. We'll see about West Virginia and them. But that is 6-7 teams that I feel very confident about, and the rest are in. But this is a big bubble weekend for Texas and West Virginia because they play each other in Morgantown. That's sneaky, a very important game in this conference. Oklahoma taking on Texas in the Moody Center. I don't even want to watch it, and neither does ESPN because a huge rivalry game is going to be on ESPN+. Iowa State taking on Kansas State. Farmageddon on the hardwood. Both teams right now, Iowa State comes off a good win against TCU, but they haven't necessarily been phenomenal. They've lost a couple of games here, and Kansas State has just been skidding as well. So both teams in weird spots where they're like, yeah, we're good, but we're not top of the league good, but you have to respect us, and this is a really important game for them. I actually like Iowa State on the road in this game. I think their guard play is still very good. I think defensively, they can do a lot to disrupt Kansas State. And I just like Iowa State right now in that game. Their last matchup was awesome in Hilton. This will be in Bramlage, the Octagon of Doom. I know fans are going to get excited for this one, but I just think Kansas State's kind of worn down right now. I like Iowa State a lot in that game. Oklahoma State taking on number 22 TCU in Fort Worth. Give me Oklahoma State, and I can't say anything about TCU right now. I can't say they're a bad basketball team. I can't criticize them. They're gone. They don't have their best player. What am I to criticize? Like, if this were to happen of any team across the country and they lose, it's like, you can't do that. You can't criticize TCU right now. Oklahoma State has it rolling defensively. And TCU is still keeping games close for the most part. I like Oklahoma State there. And then Baylor, Kansas. I'm riding with the Baylor Bears. I have to go with them. Offensively, they can do so many things. The health of DeJuan Harris and Kevin McCullough is still at large for me. I like that a whole lot. And that's the episode of the Midwest Madness Podcast. If you are not familiar with us on social media, follow us at that was, hold on, I'm not even going to cut that. if you made it this far, that is like the worst speech impediment thing I've ever had. That was embarrassing. Huge weekend here. Follow us at Twitter at MW_ManusBig12. We'll see you in the next one. I love you. Peace.
Podcast Network.